to talk before we celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut with Hallel, which we know is a very controversial issue, and many people aren't so sure that we should sing Hallel, especially not with a bracha. To understand exactly what we're doing here tonight, why we're going to be saying Hallel tomorrow, and just to put things in their broader context, okay? Sounds good?
Yeah.
So why don't we start from the beginning? In the beginning, there was a man named
Adam.
Well, let's ask it like this. Who's the first person who got with the love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Eretz Yisrael? And Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu.
Korah.
In what parsha? It was Pshat, guys. Not a midrash. Lech Lecha. It all started with a man named Avraham when Hashem tells him in the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Go from your land. Right? Who's the next guy who gets a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stay in Eretz Yisrael, because this is the place where you need to stay? Yitzchak Avinu. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. Hashem tells him, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. You got to stay. Don't leave. Who's the next guy who gets a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you and your children are going to have to stay in Eretz Yisrael, and this is where you're destined to be? Yaakov Avinu. Anybody remember when does Yaakov Avinu get the commandment?
When does that love on
terror, even beforehand?
Doesn't
he
get the
ladder? At the ladder. He gets the vision at the ladder. He's running away from his brother. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets by that first vision, that great vision. Hashem says, I'm going to give you this land to you and your children. In fact, Yaakov Avinu, when he dies, what's his main command to his child, to Yosef?
Bury him in Israel.
Bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Never forget Eretz Yisrael. He knows that the Jewish people are going to come down. Never forget. Yosef, how does he display his connection to Eretz Yisrael?
He asks to be buried in Israel also.
He also asks to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and it's shot. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the bones of Yosef Avinu to Eretz Yisrael. What is Moshe's mission, guys? Moshe Rabbeinu, when God comes to him by the burning bush, what is the mission of the Jewish people?
To get the Torah and go to Israel.
Exactly, to get the Torah and to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is not just a little detail, a little machlokes Rambam, Ramban, whether there's a mitzvah. This is the essence of the whole Torah. The mission of the Jewish people is to go to Eretz Yisrael. Fast forward Jewish history a little bit. There are two main sins that the Jewish people did in the desert. Cheta Egel and what was the chet which got them, which was the main sin? Cheta Meraglim. Even more serious than idolatry is when the Jewish people betray their unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that love relationship, and they you could say, listen, the Meraglim, what did they do that was so terrible? They just, you know, it was a bad war decision. They were scared. Why is it so terrible? But they had an attitude where they weren't yearning for the land. They didn't love the land. And when you don't love something, you know, then you can find all sorts of rationalizations. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you this is your land. They didn't have that love. And so problems started. And that's when our fate was sealed. Think about the Shema, which we say every day, guys. In the Shema, what is the greatest punishment that can happen to the Jewish people if we sin? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us? What do we say every day? What's the greatest, the worst thing that can happen to us? And you will get gullus. The worst thing possible for the Jewish people is to get gullus. But at the same time, over and over and over in the Torah and in the prophets, what is the promise that Hashem says over and over? What will happen one day? One day, we dive in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us back. And we'll be on the hills of Eretz Yisrael of Efrat, singing and dancing, stuffed into cars with way too many people, having a lot of fun. Gevalt, gevalt. One day our forefathers daven, one day we'll come back, and we know that every Jew always is praying three times a day that one day we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. This is our dream. And we were singing every single day. We were singing, Hinei Shkachem. And wherever Jews went, they were oppressed. They were not, they didn't have freedom, and they kept singing these songs of Atechazena and Enu. They kept dreaming. And Gevalt, 1948. It happened, the miracle happened, and the Jewish people returned to their land. The love story continued. Kol Dodi Dofek. Our beloved was knocking at the door. We were knocking for all those years, and finally the door was open and we were able to go back to our land. And now a little Gemara.
Yes.
So the Gemara teaches us, after the Jewish people left, they got saved from Yitziat Mitzrayim. They sang a song, Az Yashir Moshe. The Gemara in Taina says, we learn from this, that whenever the Jewish people are in Tsaris and we call Yisrael are saved, there's a chiyuv. What must we do when we are saved from our afflictions? We have to sing Hallel. That's what the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches says explicitly. You have an obligation to sing Hallel every single time. And the Chasam Sofer says that that is the basis of the holiday of Chanukah and the basis of Purim. What right do the rabbis have to establish a holiday? It's not in the Torah. So what's his source? Where do the rabbis get off making a new holiday? Where do they get it from? They get it from this idea that every time there's we have a redemption, we have to sing Hallel. And we get it from the Gemara in Megillah, which says that we make a Kal Vachomer if from slavery to freedom we have to sing Hallel Kal Vachomer from death to life. And that's the source for singing, for making the holiday of Pesach, of Chanukah. And that, my friends, is a Talmudic basis for which holiday? For today, for Chag HaAtzmaut. Okay? And that is why the rabbis, the Rabbanut, in 1948, they said we should sing Hallel. They weren't sure if we should say a bracha or not. In 1974, the rabbis came back, convened a Rabbanut, and said we should say Hallel with a bracha tomorrow to express the miracle and to express our appreciation for the miracles, which is the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, the kibbutz galiot. Okay? So first and foremost, we have, according to many, many great rabbis, a halachic obligation to express hoda'ah, to be thankful for the kibbutz galiot that we are currently experiencing, that we are a part of. Everyone got that?
Got it.
Okay. Secondly, Rav Melamed points out that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are two levels to this mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There is the individual level, where every single Jew, every one of us, the Ramban writes and the Shulchan Aruch writes, and all the poskim write, every Jew has an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, only because we are able to be in the land, only because we have sovereignty over the land, are we able to move back here, right? We all know the white papers and how we simply were not able to physically move back to Eretz Yisrael for all these years. Only because we have sovereignty are we able to come back and move to the land. But besides for the individual obligation to the individual's chut to live in Eretz Yisrael, what else is there? There's a mitzvah on the klal. There's a mitzvah to have sovereignty over our land. And ribonut. And only in 1948 were we able to fulfill that mitzvah. Now let me ask you guys, why do we need sovereignty over land? Why can't we just go back as individuals like certain sects of our holy brothers claim? We don't need a state. Why don't we just have it do this as individuals? Why do we need sovereignty over the land? What do you guys think?
Well, there's some people...
To fulfill the promise of Abraham, which is what?
That he will wander in strange lands and they'll come back to Israel and have a nation.
As a nation, exactly. As a unique nation with a unique mission to be an Or LaGoyim. And you can't do that as an individual. We have a national obligation to come back here, which requires sovereignty. Okay, and we have to look at that in the big picture. And that's why there's halachic nafkaminas. If a place has sovereignty, we will not tear Kriya. If we don't have sovereignty, we will tear Kriya. Because sovereignty has halachic nafkaminas. And that's why the fact that we got sovereignty in 1948 has halachic ramifications, which would, according to many rabbis, obligate us celebrating and singing challah. Okay? One more Gemara, and this is a delicious Gemara. It's a delicious Gemara. Anytime you're on campus or anytime for the rest of your life, you're asked this question, halal, not halal. I want you to remember this Gemara, one of my favorite Gemaras. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadech Dalid, Ahmed Aleph, teaches us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech had the potential, was supposed to be the Mashiach. Of course, what story are we talking about where Chizkiyahu was saved?
Assyria.
Of course, you guys were there in Ir David, right? The Assyrians were all wiped out. It's the story in Malachim Bet, I think it's Perek Yudchet, and hundreds of thousands of Assyrians were coming to wipe out the Israelites. And the Tanakh teaches us, he cried out to Hashem, and Yeshayah Navi says, "Don't worry, Hashem will save you." And what happens? Hashem saves them. It's a miracle. It's amazing. Chizkiyahu was supposed to be the Mashiach. He's one of the greatest kings in Jewish history, perhaps the greatest, him and David HaMelech. But for one reason, he was not the Mashiach. Why was he not the Mashiach? What didn't he do, guys?
He didn't have kids.
He didn't say challah. He didn't say challah. The Gemara says he didn't sing Shira. He didn't sing. He didn't celebrate. And because he didn't sing and celebrate, he wasn't able to bring the Mashiach. The Jewish people were Yehudim. Every day we start off Moda Ani. He didn't have Hakarat Hatov. Right? Think about the Dayenu. What are we saying in Dayenu? We say, if you would have brought us to out of the desert, and you wouldn't have brought us to the land of Israel, you wouldn't have given us the Torah, it would have been enough. What do you mean it would have been enough? How would it have been enough? What would it have been enough? To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Rav Liptak. It's enough. Every step of the process, we have to be thankful. That's the essence of life. The essence of Judaism is to be appreciative, to be thankful. So how could he not sing Shira? That's the essence of Judaism. But I still have a question. A question that never made sense to me. Chizkiyahu is a huge tzaddik. A great tzaddik. How is it possible that he didn't sing Shira? How can he not say thank you? Right? We get this. He's a big tzaddik. What does it mean that he didn't say thank you? What do you guys think? How could it be a tzaddik on that level didn't say thank you? Any ideas?
Maybe he didn't say thank you, he just didn't say the full challah.
Oh, he didn't say it with the bracha. That was why he can't be the Mashiach.
Exactly. Well, to take credit for himself?
Yeah, recognize the greatness of what's going on.
Okay, he didn't see it in the bigger picture. Very good. He didn't sing Shira. What does that mean, Shira?
It's not to say thank you. You can say thank you to someone and like, hey, thanks for really good. Or you can say,
he didn't say it from the depth of his heart. Gavalt, I love your pshat. I love your pshat. I want to offer you one little extra pshat. My pshat is like this. Pshat, I think, is simple. He, of course, said thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you look at the very next pasuk, in the next parak, he gets caught up, his family gets sick, life goes on. And you know what he may not have done? He didn't make a public declaration, a hallel, with a bracha, where the whole Jewish nation was singing challah together. He didn't make a holiday out of it. He didn't do Kabbalat Yom HaShira. He may have said thank you on a personal level, but he didn't establish it on a public level, on a halachic level. And therefore, it didn't last. Right? When you don't establish something in halacha, you just go on with your life. Right? We all know we should appreciate Eretz Yisrael, but how often do we really sing and dance and appreciate it? Because he didn't establish it with a halachic imperative. And think about Shabbat. Imagine we didn't have Kabbalat Shabbat and we weren't singing and dancing in Kabbalat Shabbat. Would we really feel it? Would we really appreciate the depth of Shabbos? So to me, if you ask me, what's Yom HaAtzma'ut? Why is it so important to say halal with a bracha and to celebrate and to sing and to dance? because this is our day of Kabbalat Yom Tov. This is our Tikkun. This is our Shira. This is our time when we're singing and dancing with a bracha, hopefully, and if not with a bracha, at least in a very public demonstration. If you don't hold with a bracha, their great rabbi said you shouldn't say it with a bracha, but the main thing, we should make a public declaration of it when we're doing the Riku Degalim, to say that we are publicly pronouncing our appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Alright, I want to finish off with two cash Torahs, two crazy Torahs. Sing a song and we'll call it a night. Okay? Because I know you have people to see. Two cash Torahs. Cash Torah number one, an amazing Torah. I believe it's the Vilna Gaon has an amazing tradition. He says that if you look in every year in history, it corresponds to that year, to that pasuk in the Torah. Okay? So, if you look at the year 5107, I believe, which is when we were zoche to come back to the land of Israel. 5707, I'm sorry. So, what pasuk is it in the Torah?
It's a 5,700.
Yeah, I have to double check the exact pasuk, but 5707, you count up that pasuk, what does it talk about? Coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the Kibbutz Galios.
What about this year?
I don't know what it is. This year we'd have to look it up. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. One more cash Torah to take with you. The Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that every biblical mitzvah will one day have a rabbinical correspondence. The idea behind the biblical mitzvah, you can find in a rabbinical holiday. So Shavuos. What rabbinical holiday corresponds with Shavuos? Shavuos, we got the Torah. When else do we Hadar Kibua? No, when do we Purim? We accepted upon ourselves the Torah. What corresponds with Sukkis? When we experience God's revelation, when God's love, Chanukah. And there are many halacha connections between Chanukah and Sukkis. And the Sfas Emes says one day we will have a holiday that corresponds with Pesach. When we got our physical independence and we became free people. When is that?
Yom HaAtzmaut.
Yom HaAtzmaut. Chag HaAtzmaut.
Yeah.
That's a day, Bezrat Hashem, when we're experiencing independence. So I bless us today to really take a moment to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to dance, to sing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to really, really appreciate the miracles that Hashem has done for us, and hopefully to come back not just as visitors, but as dwellers of the land and developers of the land and Yidden who are going to help the Jewish people accomplish their mission to be a light to the nations.
What's the name? Simcha Elyon Tov Leodot Lashem Ay 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 Ulehagi Baboker Chasecha Ulehagi Baboker Chasecha Emunasa Baleilot Emunasa Hashem,